back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemé. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Mixon, touchdown, Texans. And the second half drought is over for Houston.
They did finally get an offensive second-half touchdown.
Yep.
To wrap things up, joining us in studio right now from ESPN, DJ Bienemé. DJ, the main thought that I had after last night's Texans convincing 34-10 win over the Cowboys was this says more about the Cowboys than it says about the Houston Texans.
Why are you so negative?
Because
negative Nancy Paul.
I mean, I can go through all of it if you want.
I'll listen to all your negativity.
Mm-hmm. I'm a perfectionist.
Perfection doesn't exist.
But the striving for perfection is something that always should exist on a football field.
Absolutely.
And I'm still waiting to see that step forward on offense. And I feel like the step forward last night was Joe Mixon is incredible.
Yeah.
And everybody else around them, are they taking those same steps that we saw from Mixon when he's bouncing to the outside and evading everybody like he did multiple times last night?
Yeah. Mixon was incredible. I think CJ played a pretty clean game outside of his interception. I think that one was more him and Nico haven't played in a game together since, October?
It's been a while.
Yeah, since the beginning of October, actually. Obviously, he missed the past five games, so... You know, it's funny, right? A lot of people, especially last year, they always try to like poo-poo like the discussion of anticipating throws. That was one of those throws where you're kind of thrown into a window. You got to make sure your chemistry and your time with the receiver is on par. And obviously it was a little bit off, and that's what it looks like when it's off. So I'm not going to criticize them too much for that. They'll get that record. We've seen them hit that play so many times. It wasn't like they were trying something completely new that we've never seen. They threw that, you know, post shot that they always throw into that window. And I think Bobby actually drew it up perfectly because they were in cover two and he had a seam route carry the Mike linebacker to get him out the way so he could have that window. So that was actually a pretty good design. They just missed on that. But besides that, you know, obviously CJ had, like, you know, the miss on, like, third and one to tank. But it should have ran the ball in that situation. But, again, like, for me, you know, it did drag just a little bit long, but – they still won by 24 points, and I think that for this team with this iteration, this was a win that they needed in the fashion that it happened. And I think from a way to build on it, the morale that was in the locker room post-game is something that they can carry into the next game and in the following game as they get ready for that three-game stretch in 10 days after their bye week. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I think the vibe in the locker room along with you know, them actually having a convincing win, you know, I mean, you can nitpick, okay, yes, the offense only scored 10 points in the second half, but they averaged 8 and they got above that. So they're getting better, and the season's all about getting better. So you're peaking in late December and January, not peaking in November. I got him, Joe.
He looks like he's a fall-off. That's why I haven't said anything yet.
I still feel like they're in the base camp. The peaking seems so far away. Yes, Stroud with Collins, a couple games in a row. There's things to clean up. He still missed a couple other throws. I think there are like two or three other ones other than the ones that you mentioned.
But no quarterback is going to hit every single throw.
I understand
that. Everybody can be talking.
I understand that. But I want to see him take a step forward. And I feel like we've been stuck in this quagmire for a lot of the offense for a really long period of time. And this is one play that they clearly overcame because that first drive of the game looked very good. But it's the little things that are happening where why is Laremy Tunsil slightly downfield on the screen when this is something that they clearly drew up as the first play that they were going to run in this game? You know, it's still a little bit of that. And coming out of it, I know that they beat up on a team that's banged
up. For sure.
A lot of players that are young out there. I just feel like we have been in a spot where this offense is not really taking many steps forward. And I want to see them happen. I'm just wondering when is the next step going to happen, because they did win in convincing fashion. But I felt like last night was a lot about the defense just was completely overwhelming for Cooper Rush, and the offense did the necessary things to complement that.
Yeah, but this is the most points they've scored since week six, if I'm correct, because they haven't gotten over 24 since week six.
Correct.
So, again, like, there is some progress, I believe. I think CJ threw for 257 yards. He had his third highest completion percentage of the entire season in his game. He was only pressured on 36% of his dropbacks, which was way lower than the season average of 41. Obviously, they ran the ball pretty well. So, like, there were moments in the third quarter where it was like, here it goes again.
Yeah.
But they were able to overcome that. They were able to overcome that in the fourth quarter by, obviously, the defense helped them out a little bit. But, again, it's team ball. And, again, for me, it's all about the three games in 10 days. And it's about preparing and building towards that. And I think this was a step in the right direction for that. Because, again, like, I'm not going to crush them for winning by 24 points. I'm not going to be negative Nancy like you are for winning by 24 points. I get you wanted a 40. You wanted to put up 41 points.
I wanted a 60 burger, yeah.
You wanted to put up 41 points. They were a touchdown off from that. Think about it. Because, like, again, like, they were close in the sense of, like, really, like, obliterating them. Because think about it. In the third quarter, to open the drive, they got down to the 5-yard line.
They did.
Juice got the holding call. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that doesn't happen. Now you're, like, right there to do that.
I know. See, you're right. And
that's what I'm saying.
And Joe, you can join in on this if you want.
I'm enjoying. I'll jump in when it's necessary.
That's what I'm saying. So,
well, it's those little things just keep happening.
For sure. And I get that.
I just – look, perfection, you're right. Are they going to get there?
Perfection doesn't exist.
Okay, but I want to be closer to it than they are. I feel like they keep on playing, like, C+. And I feel like the talent that's on this roster, especially now that Nico Collins is back, and they're going to have to work him back in, I feel like it is capable of more than this. And this Cowboys team, I get it, they're an NFL team, but they're barely an NFL team. I mean, first drive of the game, they looked so unprepared, unready. All game long, CeeDee Lamb, they're constantly zooming in on him, pouting and bitching while he's doing dumb stuff on the field. Micah Parsons is just randomly tackling Robert Woods out there. Like, this team, this Cowboys team, they are in Cancun right now. They might be the worst team in the NFC right now.
Right.
They did win in convincing fashion. At the end of the day, it's big for them going forward. I am just hoping that the next game or the game after that, we're going to see a step forward from some of the things that seem to be happening every single game. Minor issues that get them in these quagmires in the third quarter where until Derek Barnett gets that strip sack and Guyton tries to Titus Howard it upfield, like, I'm not going to feel great about this.
Because, like, DJ, you don't think that they – it's such a minimal step. Like, shouldn't they have taken a leap against a team?
But for me, you can't take a leap against the Cowboys.
You can take it, but you can score in the second half. Like the ending of the game, it's garbage time. The game's over. You score a touchdown. It's – why is that not happening in the beginning of the third quarter, early in the second half?
They almost did.
I know,
they
but
literally
the
almost did.
They the
literally,
almost.
See, the difference with the other games, they weren't even getting inside the opposing team's red zone. Against the Jets, they didn't get in the red zone in the second half. Against the Lions, they did not get in the red zone. So, again, like, for me, it's about progress. This, by definition, is progress. They were moving the ball pretty effectively. Obviously, the first drive, they actually got all the way down. That was the closest they've been to the end zone in, like, weeks. In the second half, obviously the Patriots game, they scored a bunch. But against the Colts in the second half, you know, it wasn't like they got that much closer, I think, because they didn't score a touchdown in the second half again in that game. And then again, against the Jets and Lions, they didn't even get inside the red zone. So for me, they made progress. But like this leap, they could have put a 50 on the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a bad football team. So like that wasn't going to move anybody anyway.
I think if they had a couple more offensive touchdowns in the second half, I think I'd be in a better spot.
Yeah, but I would be saying the same exact thing. Like, they took a minimal step.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, like, it's the Cowboys. The Cowboys are not a good football team. So, like, beating up on a tomato can isn't going to then make me feel like you took a massive step. The massive step, again, for me, will be when they play Miami, Baltimore, and Kansas City. And everything is gearing up to that stretch. Because that's going to challenge their mental toughness. That's going to challenge their skill level. That's going to challenge their coach. It's going to challenge every single facet of this team. So building up to that, because like if they play like they did last week, well, yesterday against the Titans, they'll probably win by 2 scores. And they do that against the Jags, they'll probably win by 2 scores. And then like, you know, they go into that stretch and they'll be as ready as you could be for that 3-game stretch.
Say things don't significantly improve on the offensive side of things. is this sustainable in that the defense wins them games?
So when you say it doesn't improve, you mean going into the playoffs?
Yes.
Oh, they'll be one done.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be one done.
So that's what it all boils back to, though. That's where I feel like I see the future. And again, anything can happen in this league.
For sure.
And by the way, I hope that I end up being wrong. I hope that they make me a crow. Like I'm not that proud of takes I have. I don't need them to be right to validate me or anything like that.
Really?
You know? No, I don't care. Predictions, yeah. Anyone can have a prediction. Yeah, yeah. But with the way things are going right now, it does feel like for them to win, the defense has to kind of just fly all over the field and win it. And you know, I find it interesting the way that D'Amico's handling some of the questions that are being asked, because he was asked about, I want to say it was about Joe Mixon and the way that they scored. Oh, wait, no, it was this. He was asked about the touchdown that they scored on offense in the second half, and he shifted it back over to talking about how the defense needs to finish games. Sure. And I was like, well, I actually feel good about the defense's ability to finish games. I feel like they're doing all that they can, and the offense isn't helping them out, because there is this thing as complimentary football.
Right.
So what I'm asking you is, can the defense do that? I mean, this is obviously the Cooper Rush-led Dallas Cowboys. Is the defense capable of some iteration of that? Because if it is, then that can make up for some of the offensive issues.
So the issue is the AFC playoff picture looks, they're either going to see the Chargers, the Ravens, or the Steelers, right? Two of the three teams have a really, really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Ravens, you would assume they have a good defense, but the pass defense is pretty bad, so that's a toss-up. Obviously, they play really well against the Steelers. So the issue is, if you rely solely on your defense, and your offense gives you nothing, or like they're really struggling, it's a coin flip at that point. And, you know, anything can happen in that aspect. And Justin Herbert's playing really well. Obviously, Lamar Jackson played MVP football. Russell Wilson, obviously, when he came in last year, he played pretty poorly, but he's still Russell Wilson, and he's shown signs of
he's
that.
Been better this year.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that you make it a coin flip versus where you're dictating on your terms. You know, because we all know just as the Texans defense can play a great game against Josh Allen or against Jared Goff, but like they can still have the moments where like, you know, Aaron Rodgers has his best game, right? Or
this Turpin kid goes for 64.
Yeah,
yards.
Yeah. They can have their their farts. So I mean, for me, It was a step in the right direction. They still have more work to do, but I do think that if it doesn't get significantly better, then they'll probably be one and done. And I think we all know that.
Was the offensive line a step in the right direction?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, like 79 of Joe Mixon's 109 yards. 79 of it was untouched, so that speaks to the offensive line. And again, CJ was pressured on 36% of his dropback, only sacked once. 36 is on the lower end of what he'd been pressured this year, because the season average is 41. Obviously, that's probably gone down a little bit. So they took a step in the right direction across the board. Obviously, the Cowboys' defensive line isn't that good, but
yeah, I mean, Parsons, they said on the broadcast in the fourth quarter last night, and I haven't seen like the next gen stuff, but that Micah Parsons had 10 pressures in last night's game. So even though,
yeah, I mean, it didn't feel like he had 10 pressures. I mean, y'all, yeah, I mean, which did y'all
say? Honestly, I agree with you. When they said it, I was surprised by the number.
Yeah, me too. I was like, it didn't feel like, because, like, when watching CJ this year, when he's under pressure, it looks evident, clear as day. Yesterday, it didn't feel like he was under pressure that much.
I'm with you in that when Stroud was a little erratic, it felt like he was feeling pressure that wasn't there.
Yeah, like when we say pressure, is it like the guys come around the edge and he's like, this, hey.
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a great question.
There are a couple of moments of that.
I saw Next Gen Stats tweet this, that Danielle Hunter is number one in the NFL by far.
Yeah, by 15.
With pressures.
72 or 1 or something like that.
Do you guys feel like he's constantly...
Of late,
but like they're
in general,
there are weeks.
The first couple of weeks of the year, I did not feel that way. Yes,
there are weeks where, like, you know what I'm saying. So pressure is a very
subjective.
It's a very subjective stat.
I am curious as to how they actually go about getting it, but
right.
For what it's worth, and we've talked a lot about the negatives.
You're a negative Nancy.
I can't help it, man. I can't help it. From Boston, was raised in a household where if you have less than an A, it's not good enough. My sister went to Harvard. I'm the F up in the family. I grew up watching the Patriots, and I'm spoiled. There's a lot of things that led to this, okay? So just bear with my craziness. And then let's talk about the defense. Okay. Your guy, Derek Stingley.
He's been playing He's been playing good football.
This was, I thought, a fantastic game. The next gen stats even showed it, where they're talking about how he looked going up against CeeDee Lamb. And okay, is CeeDee Lamb checked in? Does he have the best quarterback throwing to him? No. But I thought Stingley played fantastic in this game. Easily could have had two more interceptions.
He should have left with at least two interceptions, minimum, maybe three.
I mean, Cooper was getting him involved.
Cooper was trying to get his stats. Cooper was trying to pad his stats against Derrick.
But you've been on this for a while, and I got to give you credit, because I tended to lean your way mainly because I was just sort of annoyed by the amount of praise that Sauce Gardner got. Sauce Gardner has given up the lead in the Derek Stingley versus Sauce Gardner who should you take draft conversation from a couple of years back.
I always find the conversation so stupid because they're both cornerbacks, and like they're both like they're clearly like both very talented, and they're both cornerbacks, and you have a talented corner.
Yeah,
it's like it's more about styles than anything.
They're different,
like,
players.
Yeah, they're different players, and it's like, all right, you know, like if we're talking about, if would you rather have Tua or Herbert, that's way different because both of them drastically affect wins and losses because they both play quarterback. Or if it's like, if I'm gonna say it again, Miami could have taken Jamar Chase at three instead of trading back and then actually getting Waddle. Like,
yeah,
that's different. We're talking about, like, and I'm not saying cornerback's not a premium position. It is, however. The discussion was kind of silly because it wasn't like Stingley was a bum. Like, he was obviously very talented in a different system, and you could see the talent. And once he got into the right system, it looked like more of a wash. And it's like, all right, yeah, like whoever the corner you want is fine, but like it's not like you're not winning a Super Bowl because you got the right corner over the other guy. You know what I'm saying?
And the injury is definitely affected. I think the early conversation between the two. I do wonder about him because he's the next contract that they're going to have to look at. And I know that you saw the contract. Who there was some guy, I'd never even heard of the guy before. The Broncos?
No. That was a guy from the Niners.
You're right. Yeah, sorry.
Five for 92.
Like another corner got paid, and it's close to $100 million. And I am wondering what the Texans do with that, just given the injuries that he has. But, I mean, this was one of those games where you look at him and you think to yourself, okay, I mean, I think he's worth it.
He's absolutely worth it because you can put him on a team's best receiver and he's going to hold his own. And, I mean, even against, like, the Lions, I think he was kind of following-ish, but not fully following, but, like, kind of following-ish J-Mo to an extent, like, on plays where...
Not all of them, but right.
Not all of them, but, like, you know, and obviously he almost got an interception on a deep ball to J-Mo. But again, like, he's one of those guys that, one, gets his hands on the ball, and I think that matters so much at the cornerback position.
Great hands.
In terms of, you know, being an upper echelon guy, which is why I could never, ever get behind, like, Sauce's, you know, the best corner in the league. I was fine with him being in the top five, but the best, nah. Because, again, like, you have to get your hands on the ball, right? Because if you don't, I mean, if the worst I have to worry about when I'm throwing your direction is a PBU or I have to end up punting, like, that's whatever. But we know interception can change the whole tenor of a game. You know what I'm saying? Because his first interception, granted, like, they're going to obviously roll the Cowboys. But, again, let's say he doesn't get an interception. They go down and score, and it's like that back and forth, back and forth. But that play was kind of like, all right, hey, we're the better team. And interception sometimes can mess with the quarterback psyche. Like, there's so many things that can go with interceptions versus just good coverage, you know, and maybe a PBU. But, like, yeah, again, like, going against – Davante Adams, I think the Jets game was still probably his best because he had no safety help. This one, he had a little bit of safety help at times. I think they were like, hey, like, we remove him, like, it's a done deal. But again, like, even on some of his one-on-ones, right, still was able to get a PBU, draw offensive pass interference, catch an interception, even though Jimmy Ward kind of helped him out a little bit. But again, like, you know.
He played great last night.
He played great last night. And again, we had when he played against DJ Moore, same thing. When he played against Amari in the playoff game, same thing. So, like, now we have a track record of when you let Derek follow, great things can and probably will happen.
On the other side of the defense, just in terms of guys who's not out there, what's going on with Will Anderson?
I mean, you know,
because it seemed – it's hard to get a read on the Texans with injuries right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it seems the reports, and like we've seen some of the back and forth between some of the beat reporters on social media out there.
That stuff is so, like.
Yeah, I know.
It's getting catty.
It's a little catty.
What sucks is I'm always in the middle of it because, like, both sides always come and talk to me. Because, you know, I'm a nice guy. Paul, you see me. I'm a nice guy. Yeah. People like me. You know what I'm saying? Not bragging, but, like, you know, I like to be friendly with everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm almost hearing both sides. I don't ever go back to the other side. Oh, this is what he was saying. I don't do that. But it's always like,
eh. So you're Switzerland.
So, like,
basically.
So for those that don't know, like, there's a report that Nico Collins was going to be back last week versus the Lions. He was not back. People started accusing a couple of the other reporters of saying he's going to be back. They were defending themselves. But Will Anderson, like, is it a serious ankle injury? And they're using.
If it was serious, he'd be on IR.
Same as last year?
Even though they only have one injured reserve spot, like, they're not just.
If it was serious, he'd probably be on IR. He'll be back. Like, I've seen him in locker rooms. Like, he's not walking with a limp. He looks fine. It's more like someone fell on his ankle. It's kind of like the tank conversation. Someone falls on your ankle, you know, falls on your leg, you know, bad things are going to happen.
It's just 2 years in a row with an ankle injury, right?
Like, yeah, that's fair.
You want to make sure you don't have the NFL version of Steph Curry.
Well, hey.
That'd be good.
That'd be good.
I would take that.
You're right. Like,
I get what you're saying. The end result's
great.
It took a while. The first couple years.
Yeah,
it took a while.
Like 4 years?
It took 4 years for him to figure out his ankle. Yeah.
Well, Anderson just needs an Under Armour deal.
Hey, man, like four years? I mean, yeah, to turn into arguably the greatest player in possession? Hey. If 4 years is all it takes, I'd take that. But, no, I mean, his ankle will be fine. Because it'd be different if, like, it was, you know, he was running and, like, his ankle, like, rolled or one of those or whatever. Or he jumped and then, like, his ankle just, But, like, it was, someone fell on it, you know? Like, that's just bad luck.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, if he had a string of soft tissue injuries, now I'm like, hold on. Which is why, like, I understand people come from with the Derek Stingley stuff. Just someone fell on his ankle. Like, he'll be fine.
All right. One last question.
All right.
Bobby Slowik, grade him for this game. Grade him.
I'll give him like a B+, A-.
B+, A-.
Yeah, for sure. I'll give him a B, you know what I'm saying? Like, he caught a good game. You know, players got to execute sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like I think cuz if that pass to CJ to Nico, if CJ's just more accurate there, like, that might be a touchdown.
I'm with you. I feel like the last 2 weeks, I know we're blaming Bobby Slowik for a lot, and Bobby drove me crazy with the football is football comment last week.
I was laughing at yours.
Come on, bro. Help. I'm trying to help him out.
Yeah, for sure.
Last week I was defending him.
Yeah.
I think he actually hasn't been that bad the last couple of games. Mm. I feel like it really right now the big question is CJ going to be able to shake whatever this funk is?
So how long do you think the funk's been for CJ?
I feel like it's been a month.
Okay. So, do we not remember last year in the middle of the season he went through a funk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he went through a 4-game funk, and then he snapped out of it for like 470 yards against the Buccaneers.
Patrick Mahomes has been in a season-long funk, man.
Yeah, like, you know, like.
But it's again, like, with him, and maybe this is partly due to the hype that we had going into the year.
That's fair.
But there is a level that I think we're all capable of, that we all think he's capable of getting to, and it just hasn't happened that much this year.
Yeah, I would say, you know, a decent amount of that has more to do with, you know, the coverages that they're playing. And again, like, he went, two and a half games? Well, he actually went 5 games without his best receiver, 2.5 games without his top 2 receivers. No quarterback's going to survive that. And it doesn't matter if it's Patrick Mahomes. We've seen Patrick Mahomes have some nasty stat lines, you know, last year and the year before that without Tyreek and Kelce looking okay or whatever. So, like, that's going to happen to any quarterback. But to be fair, you know, to CJ, a lot of the coverages that he's seen, you know, a lot of that too high stuff. Like, I know it sounds like a cliche, but they do see a decent amount of too high because this scheme, I was actually watching it at the game, watching some forward 49ers film, watching some Miami film, just seeing how teams are playing that particular scheme. And a lot of it is like, hey, we're going to sit in too high and we're going to try to flood the middle because we know that, you know, Kyle or Mike or Bobby, they want to hit those inbreakers. And they just got to continue to find ways to counter it. And as they continue to do that, then teams will start to play it differently. And again, like with Joe Mixon running well, I think the thing that hurts them a little bit too is that you can run somebody out of too high. The issue is they'll have their moments where, like, instead of just running them out of too high, they'll just try to pass them out of too high. Or sometimes, you know, like Joe gets stuffed a couple times and now it's 3rd and long. because they do have a pretty low success rate on first and second downs, and that's with Joe Mixon running like a maniac throughout the season.
He was great.
So, like, again, you know, I think once they figure out how to, like, consistently attack that consistently, then I think we'll get back to, you know, the talk about CJ. But, you know, again, like, to be fair to CJ, CJ's only 23. Like, the whole MVP stuff was kind of lunacy. Like, not saying that he's not capable of ever winning one. I've said on the air, I think he'll end up winning one day. I think he has the type of talent. However, to expect that in year two because he got Stephon Diggs was kind of silly because, again, like, he's only 23. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Lamar's done it. Patrick's done it. But, like, those are anomalies. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about, like, those two are, like, arguably, you know, Mahomes is obviously second-best quarterback ever. Lamar's engine tour is top 10.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady won. Yeah, whatever. But, like, yeah. Mahomes could usurp Tom Brady.
Oh, for sure. I'll agree.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, he's done that. And Lamar Jackson, who might get his third MVP in, like, whatever, like, 8 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the guys that have, you know, Tom Brady, when did Tom Brady get his first MVP? It took him to what, like, year what?
It was because of the liberal agenda, right?
Okay, whatever.
And then the Peyton Manning.
When did Peyton
get Manning sending people to the people's houses. And probably
when did Peyton get his first one?
Didn't count. That's what I think.
Anyway, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he got his first one was, what, 2011? Like,
yeah.
Drew Brees never got one, but that's because he was, you know, Aaron Rodgers in a way. But, like, again, point being, right? point being, though, they expect CJ in year two to go be an MVP just because you added Stephon Diggs and the Tank was coming back, et cetera, et cetera. Was a little unrealistic and unfair to put that sort of expectation on him. I still think he's a better quarterback than he was last year. Just the numbers don't show it. But again, like, he's having to do more. And if you had CJ from last year in this situation this year, the Texans would probably be 6-5, 5-6, honestly speaking.
Okay.
Because him on third downs was below average, and him under pressure was below average last year. This year, he's been much better in those situations compared to last year. So if you put that CJ in this situation, and you put this CJ in that situation last year, they maybe wins the MVP, possibly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, he's a better quarterback. It's just the numbers don't necessarily speak to it.
We'll see what happens this coming Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. I'm hoping that we see some of the progress we didn't see on offense. He is DJ Bienname. You can catch his work for ESPN covering the Houston Texans. DJ, always a pleasure, man.
Yep. I think Texans should win, you know, like 28.
70 burger. Give me my 70 burger, and I'll shut the bleep up. How about that? He's DJ. It's Kalani George. Stay put.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
A disappointing series there for Dallas. Here's a fake. The pass is caught but short of first down yardage. And that is the second fake punt that hasn't worked in the last 3 weeks for Dallas.
Oh, that was rough. But a great play by John Metchie.
Yeah, I needed more from Joe Buck there. I need Metchie crushed him.
It's always about Dallas, though. It's always about Dallas on broadcasts like this.
Shouldn't be, because they shouldn't be on television.
Yeah, but people like watching the car crash. I just wanted the car to crash a little bit more than it did.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy watching that car crash.
And a 34-10 win. Yeah, the crashing wasn't as crashy.
I feel like it was more like they ran out of gas on the highway.
Ooh, that's
like
rough.
It wasn't like there wasn't really an accident.
You ever had that happen?
No,
I have not either. I can't believe I haven't had it happen. Knock on wood. I challenge the odometer.
I'll be honest,
the gas odometer so often.
I don't really. You do? Okay. So I don't. I've been at how zero. It happens to people.
I've been at zero so many times.
It is one of the more. And no offense, Paul. This is one of the more surprising things about you is that you've never run out of gas.
Coasting King. And
I feel like. I feel like you're the type of person who like has run out of gas.
That before. Really hurts my feelings.
There was the
I just know how you procrastinate.
On the not
I
this,
do procrastinate.
Not this last trip to Lake Charles, the one before that. Before you get to the casino, the two casinos there, there's this giant ramp you go up and there was a cop and having to push a car up the ramp like over this giant bridge.
The
because
angle.
They ran out of gas.
Sounds like Sisyphus.
And then they had to have a cop on the other side on the way down was like slamming on his brakes. I don't know why they went for a tow truck. It was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my life.
And speaking of a tow truck, that is what the Dallas Cowboys need to pull them from the burning wreckage of last night. I'm going to do this for the rest of the week because I realize I've been negative. Someone sent in a very mean text a little bit ago. Just a very mean text. And instead of getting mad about it and fighting it, you know what? I'm going to roll with it. Paul, I know why you're single. You're annoying as bleep. Okay. Well, note taken. That was a nice win. 34-10.
Boom.
A lot of things could have happened in the game that didn't. And that's because it's going to happen on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. I know it. I feel it in my heart, in my bones. I'm going to be positive the rest of the week.
Oh, positive, Paul, for 3 days?
You guys
can
hold me to it. I'm going to be positive the rest of the week.
I believe you.
I'm going to try.
I believe
you. I'm just not sure they're deserving of that, but...
No, I
they're not.
Football is football.
But
Paul's going to be positive the entire...
Football is football.
I'm going to give him some grace.
Guess what? You're going to regret this now.
Why?
Because tomorrow we're going to play football as football, and I want to hear you positively talk about it.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted. No, I honestly, I've been a right grouch about that game last night. I really, truly might be. I went to bed late, and I'm tired. It could be that. I don't know.
I'm not going to miss the late night games. I kind of liked when they played at noon every game. I don't need the Texans to be on primetime.
I am tired of the primetime
games. It's not that special.
I am tired of the primetime games.
It's just a game.
I like Joe Buck calling the game. I like Troy Aikman calling the game. I did not mind Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit calling the game.
Did you watch the Manning cast?
Didn't hear the Tirico broadcast because it was I was at NRG Stadium. No, I didn't check out any of the Manning cast.
I didn't either.
I kind of wish I had because I wanted to see the J.J. Watt thing, but it distracts me from the game a little bit too much.
Me just too. It has to be a blowout for me to really normally go to the Manning cast in any situation.
But I'm going to be positive the rest of the week.
I mean, this last text is nice.
I'd date you, Paul, if I was single and a woman. Love you. Well, yeah, I love you, too.
That's really nice.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys.
Ladies.
Also ladies. They, thems as well. Everybody.
Paul.
Whoa, am I a they, them?
No, you said it.
I'm a they, them now.
This show is for you.
I came out.
Paul's for they, them.
We're for you. Oh, no.
Can we go record that?
This is for everybody. Guys, we're getting closer and closer to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach, Florida. Let's go!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
85 days away. So, we didn't touch on this yesterday, but this was news that dropped over the weekend, courtesy of John Morosi, who believes that if the Astros do not sign Alex Bregman to an extension, he could see the Astros giving Willy Adames, a shortstop, a $200 million contract. That element of the rumor shocked me.
Yes, because then how much are they expecting Alex Bregman to get? Or why would you not just give Alex Bregman a $200 million contract? Willy Adames is 28. He'd be moving from shortstop to third base. He hit 32 home runs this year with 112 RBIs.
That's good numbers.
So, and the year before was 24 and 80, and the year before that was 31 and 98. So
he's trending upwards still.
Yes. Now, there are times where in the year he hit 31 home runs, he batted 238. Last year, he batted 217.
Well, Alex Bregman's first two months of the year are generally worse than that.
His on-base percentage isn't great, but it's a... This goes back to when Chandler put out that story about like the Astros' options of consolation prize, you have to let the young kids play, or trade for someone. I feel like a guy like Willie Adames is not really factored into that, because this is a I would say an above average replacement for Alex Bregman if he's going to sign elsewhere.
Anyone worth $200 million is well above average. This is, we're competitively trying to replace Alex Bregman. And yeah, to what you're saying, is he the student that Alex Bregman is? I don't know. Doubtful. Is he the baseball nerd that Bregman is? I'll again say doubtful. Bregman's 101 on that front. And that is one of the reasons that you think about bringing him back. Intangibles a la, he's like the captain, Derek Jeter. Oh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There is an element of that with him. So, very interesting report from John Morosi over the weekend. Jeff Passan had reported last week the Astros may be willing to overspend a bit for Bregman, because they're probably not going to pay Kyle Tucker $300 million after next year.
Then can they trade him? I'm so tired of seeing these guys just walk for nothing.
Well, sometimes, Joe, if you love something,
mm-hmm.
you have to let it go.
Well, there was also speculation that they might trade for Carlos if Bregman leaves. If Carlos Correa play at third base.
And sometimes you got to go back to the well.
That would be... I would enjoy that.
I would do.
Carlos back in my life.
I would do.
That would be a nice reunion.
Yeah. No offense to Alex Bregman, but I like Carlos Correa more.
Do we just want... We just want, like, the 2017 Astros back, I think. Right?
I mean, Gerrit Cole's technically a free agent.
Can it be 2017 forever?
Yeah. Just, let's go back.
Let's go back to 2017.
Trash cans.
Yeah. Pokemon Go.
I was in my 20s. That's really
nice. I also was.
I want to go 20s. Back.
So was I.
You weren't a teenager?
No, I was 20.
You were 20?
Or I was 21.
You couldn't drink.
I was saying, could you drink?
Did you have a fake ID?
Well, my birthday was in April. So
okay.
So most of 2021 yeah. you could drink.
Okay. All right. That is our Astros countdown. We are 85 days away. Let's shift into a new segment, because guess what? A Houston sports team had a chance to woo somebody who many around basketball consider to not just be special. He's a freak of the Greek variant. New segment. It's called Giannis Watch.
The young man from Athens.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shit, you know what I'm saying?
And tell me, who has more Greek in him, the Greek or me? I think we have about the same.
Please stop.
The Greek Freak is a Greek NBA champion.
Greek Freak Watch 2024 and 2025.
Can we call him Greek Freak?
Yes, it's his name.
Okay.
His nickname.
You'll note that there's been many clips of him being horny online. Those are both Giannis Antetokounmpo on Instagram Live with his wife, embarrassing the bleep out of her.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very endearing, his goofiness.
Yeah, I think it would fit in well here.
The man loves food, and the man loves fun times.
Yeah. And basketball.
His Milwaukee Bucks took down the Houston Rockets 101-100 last night, and a lot of people are pissed off about, with 20 seconds left, Giannis Antetokounmpo inbounding a ball, and his foot was clearly on the baseline, should have been called out of bounds. The NBA pool report said today he was out of bounds.
Not a surprise. Like, the pool report, they actually do it well. I like that they're honest with it, that they tell us how they messed up. Not that it fixes anything, but just for, like, the people that want to complain about the referees all the time, it just validates them a little bit.
For sure. Our friends, Ben DeBose, among others,
yes.
Generally Rockets fans.
Yes.
No NBA fan base hates the referees quite on the same level as Rockets fans. But hey, it's fine. You can still think in your mind, if we go back to 2017 and then we get to 2018, that the 27 missed threes would have been different if a couple of calls went differently along the way. Whatever the case. Do you think Giannis Antetokounmpo saw last night's Rockets team and thought to himself, I could play here?
I would say yes. I think they did enough last night to... I mean...
I actually don't think so. I feel like he knows he's got to be around shooters.
Jalen can shoot.
Well, yeah, they shoot.
I mean, they shoot a lot. I mean, they're shooters. You didn't say he needs bucket makers.
I mean... Joe, I shoot too, and I'm 35 and single. It's called, shooting your shot.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. I mean, Jalen Green is a much better three-point shooter than I am a game shooter.
That's true.
I'm annoying.
Do you think that's true?
Yes.
I mean, we only get the stories.
Month of November. To tell us. Month of November.
Oh, no. Month of November, Paul dating better than Jalen Green shooting.
Yeah, what, 27%?
Yeah, I'm confident.
Oh, yeah. 0% versus 27%.
Well, we didn't know it was zero. You could have lied.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I never lie. Except for that one time.
I think, you know what? Cam Smith, one of our producers, he's got game.
I don't know if we can tell the story on
that. I don't know if we can either. I saw him have game this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's been on Isaiah, I think.
Yeah, he got a number from a waitress this weekend. I was impressed.
You're
thinking of
I meant old Cam.
Yes, you're thinking old Cam.
Old Cam, who was a fascinating intern. With his really fancy car.
Yes.
Who also ended up on an episode of Isaiah Uncensored. And I was like, why am I not on?
Yeah, that's Cam Davis.
Cam Davis. Okay, gotcha. Anyway.
You've never been on Isaiah Uncensored?
No.
I've never been on TV.
The last time I saw Isaiah Uncensored, he was being harassed by the restaurant owner where he was just going for a drink. I was about to go up to him, and the restaurant owner harassed him so much that he just turned around and left. And I was like, all right, so that's kind of awkward. Anyway, sports, am I right?
Giannis
Antetokounmpo! I bet he sees Isaiah Carey and he's like, I want to be here.
Yeah.
This guy.
Giannis Uncensored. That's what we need.
That would be great on that show. Before the nightcap. Fox 26. Amazing programming.
Apparently, they're still looking at Kevin Durant, too, the Rockets are.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah. We got that over the last couple days that people think that they're still hopeful that that trade could occur.
Yeah, I think I'm out on him now. I'm not out on Giannis. I am out on Durant right now.
He's not healthy enough.
Yeah.
I'd rather just keep developing the young guys, and even if it doesn't work, I'd rather that than trade some of them and trade draft capital for a guy that's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Even though he's still one of the best players in the NBA when he's on the court.
And the biggest difference, Kevin Durant's 36, Giannis is 29. Like, does the rest of the Rocket, whoever you're not trading in a Giannis or Kevin Durant trade, or especially in a Kevin Durant trade, do you think they're ready to win immediately with the 36-year-old as the best player?
No, you have to win, like, this year.
Right. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, Giannis gives you a little bit more of a runway because, you know, your life isn't over after you turn 30. Paul.
It's not.
You can't trade for someone older than Paul. How about that?
I agree with that. Giannis watch, 2024-2025.
We're watching.
Garbage time? Do we have time to play the garbage time music?
Yeah.
Okay. A little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So, it's been rough for the Cowboys. So, rough 24 hours. I can't believe that Ryan Clark suggested before the game that Jerry Jones is trying to wreck the car on purpose. This was quite the analogy, especially since Ryan Clark was wearing a two-face caliber suit.
This is where they find themselves.
I believe the offseason was baffling for us all, and it was a conversation we continue to have, and obviously the outside perception is, why are you talking about the Dallas Cowboys all day? Number one, because the Dallas Cowboys talk about the Dallas Cowboys all day, so do you actually give us something to talk about? And one of those things said by Jerry Jones was that they were going to be all in. And now all we've gotten this season as this team has continued to regress was that we couldn't do X, Y, and Z because of this. All we've gotten is excuses. We haven't found any solutions. We haven't found any answers. I had a homeboy one time in training camp, and he was going to miss curfew. And on the way back, he just wrecked his car on purpose. Because he said, if I wreck my car on purpose,
I got
then at least I got an excuse why I ain't here. Right now, Jerry Jones has been wrecking this car on purpose this entire season.
What
he's been trying to give us an excuse as to why he didn't go out and make this team a championship contender.
Those are some impressive gymnastics.
Yeah, I mean, I get where he's going with it.
They're fun.
I kind of just want the story. I don't know.
Me
like,
too.
Yeah.
Like, why That's did tease. Joey Porter do that?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Joey Porter.
Yeah, I get where he's going with it.
Feels like an Antonio Brown story.
Or Pouncey.
Mike Wallace.
Big Ben?
There's a lot of guys that could have been.
I feel like Big Ben.
Le'Veon Bell?
Big Ben wouldn't think he needs an excuse.
How do they win so much with all these knuggleheads?
Mike Tomlin. Great coach. Mike Tomlin. He's a great coach.
He's doing it with Pickens right now.
The Lifetime Coach of the Year Award. By the way, just to wrap it up, Stephen A. Smith compared Jerry Jones to Joe Biden.
I say this because I'm not joking when I say this. I'm getting very, very worried about Jerry Jones because the only thing that's worse than the team's play is his press conferences or whatever you want to call it when he's in front of the reporters where he says one thing after another after another. I find myself thinking about, you know, Joe Biden before he backed out of running for re-election. And he's only, listen, he's only 1 month. I think Jerry was 1 month older than President Joe Biden, for crying out loud. I remember when I was on the airwaves, literally, guys, 9-10 months ago. And I was like, yo, he can't be the nominee. You ain't going to make it to the Democratic National Convention. Y'all got to change. Y'all got to do something to change. And I'm looking at Jerry. And I find myself asking, where the hell is Stephen Jones? Where the hell are his family members? Who is it? I know he's the owner and the president and the GM, and I get all that. But somebody in your inner circle has to be able to stop you from just adding just fuel to the fire because it is so bad right now. They've literally took the fun out of it. I know you saw me with the.
So there you go. That's Stephen A. Smith there.
Hmm.
Who's gonna take control of him?
I'm
Democratic National Convention.
Yeah, people are not. I'm surprised he's not getting a lot of grief for that one from his coworkers.
Because they just let Stephen cook.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Just like Hunter Biden cooks.
Let him cook.
Yeah, cooked a lot of things. Anyway, that's gonna wrap up today's Atlanta George Radio program. For DJ Bien-Aimé, for Sean Mapes, and for Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.